Okay, good evening, everybody. We're holding here on Perek Nun Zayin. This is where he speaks about, he's in the middle of speaking about the Torah, about different descriptions of something, you know, about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and whether or not you could say them. So he is going to go through another thing that, another nekuda about what you can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he's going to go on to negative descriptions about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, and then speak later, next paragraph, and the paragraph after that, about what is the point of having these type of Torahim and so on. Okay, B'Torahim, Yoisa Meikman HaKadim, a deeper nekuda than before. Yadua, Ki HaMitzius Hu Mikre Kor LaNimtza. Let's explain what that means. I mean, literally, the words means that existence is a mikra to something which exists aside from its essence, which means like this. A horse is a certain type of a metzias. Any particular horse can exist or not exist. But horseness, however you want to call it, horsiness is something that's beyond it. In other words, the essence, let's take something simple, a triangle. A triangle is a concept. Any particular triangle that I happen to have could have existed, could not have existed. But a triangle itself, it seems to us a dover, something that's there, and that's that. So he says, mitzius, actual existence, hu mikra kol nimtza, it's something which may or may not happen. And this is something which is, besides existence, besides the etzem essence of what the thing is, besides the concept of the thing, which always seems to exist, the actual existence of something is a mikra. Last week I was playing with some grandchildren, and they were talking about, could they do two things at one time, three things at one time? And I said, I can do three things at one time. I can delay, procrastinate, and rest. So one of the grandchildren, I don't know, he's about 6 years old. He said, yeah, and I can also exist. Which was actually not a bad usage of the word. I have no idea where it came from, but I'll upon him, it was not a bad, especially if I say he learned like the Rambam, that actual existence is a mikra and it's not an essential description. Yeah. So he says, this is a correct definition description for anything that its existence needs a cause. Because its existence is besides its essence. So let's go back to Mashle again. A triangle as a concept exists. Any particular piece of wood that's a triangle needed the wood to grow, somebody to cut it, somebody to shape it, somebody to put it together. So anything which needs a cause for its actual existence, its essence and existence are separate. Omno misha ein sibul mitzusoi, but something does not need a cause. Vur loika isparch lavade, kize inyin amino isparch shum chuiva mitzias. So it's mitzias, his mitzias and his essence, and his essence mitzias are the same. So Ram says a very neat point. Let's talk it out. So when I speak about a triangle, what's a triangle? A triangle is three sides. Existence has nothing to do with its core definition. So there are triangles that exist in fact. they've been cut to shape, and they're triangles that exist as a concept, but it's not there. If I define HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one, his core definition, his essential definition is the one who exists. So by the very definition of that, he always must exist. In other words, if I define something with anything other than existence innate, then existence is something separate. So this object can exist, cannot exist, because its essence does not depend on its existence. But if I define HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the one whose existence depends on nothing, and therefore existence is innate to himself, so by definition, the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one and the same. So there cannot be a situation where one diverges from the other. And this is one of the reasons why we can never define a before and after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't define something as having preceded HaKadosh Baruch Hu or there being a time in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined as existence be'etzem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, if we define it as such, by the definition we're giving it, it cannot be without it. There, Vimkein, who nimtzo loy b'metzius, his existence is not similar to the existence that we use it in every other area. When we say that something exists, we're defining a particular property that happened to it. This happens to have been made. This happens to no longer exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not the type of existence we're talking about. And then he says in parentheses, v'chein, chay le b'chayim, v'yochle b'chayim, v'yochle b'chachma. And all the properties of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are not, so I can say about a person is living or not living, because the person to me is the hands, the feet, the stomach, the physical flesh and blood. Sometimes it's alive, sometimes it's not. And so on. All his properties in him are one and the same. Okay. Another point along this line is, ki ha'achdus v'ribui mikrim karu l'nimtza kashuravo echad. When we're using a quantity, quantity is a quality of a thing. It's not the thing itself. So if I say five bottles of water, I'm not saying anything about water. I'm saying five bottles of water. It's an associated property with the water. Kvayizbeza b'seifa nikra mashach hatev, which is metaphysics. Kumoisha minyan enoy etzem amnuyim. Kein ena achdos etzem adovim es achid. And just like the numbers are not something that are be'etzem, so too, when you talk about a union of bits and pieces, we're also talking about a mikra. Ki elu kulam mikra misug akamus hamisparik yasigo nimtzoyes ozonis lekabel kitzabel mikrim. So that which sometimes combines and sometimes disintegrates is which would be so. When we talk about ribui, I have five potatoes and I make one big mashed potato out of it. Those are mikrim that happen to it, and therefore achdus and ribui are mikrim. Yesen tzos nizon se kabel kaitza be'ela mikrim. Omnom amechuyev ametzias haposhet be'emes asher tesige akova klal. Things that are mechuyev ametzias that does not have our cover, k'moishu min hasheka olav mikra ribui, just like you cannot say that it happened to have been at this point many, k'enu min hasheka olav mikra ha'achtos. So in a loyme k'enu achtos yinoysa atzma avu echad loy ba'achtos. So you can't say that it happens to be one or it happens united, but rather this is etzem metzias. Let's take something similar enough that we can use a marshal for it. one of the great searches in physics was for, is there a particle that cannot be subdivided? Now we'll assume today we think that's the quark or whatever it is. So that particle, well, I'll say, when I say that I have a quark that's unified, so when I say I have an atom that's unified, it means the electrons, the protons, the neutrons are all, each one is doing its own thing. They're doing together what they're supposed to do. And I haven't dislodged any electrons off it. I haven't ionized it. That's what it is. So it's one atom, but that atom is a few pieces together. I have a few atoms together as a molecule. That's achdus. Achdus in the sense of pieces that can be separate, and yet they are together is achdus. But when I get down to that particle that can be subdivided, I can't say it's true achdus because it's not subdivided. It's of a different type. There's an achdus that is made of pieces that can divide, can be divided, and they come together. So by Kodesh Baruch Hu, to speak of him as achdus, because there is no ribui possible, then we can't know our cover possible. So we also cannot use that same term to describe it. So a molecule, you'll have the pieces that come together. Avu echad le b'achdus. Kodesh Baruch Hu is one in essence. It's not a mikra. V'loy yibochanu ha'elu hanyonim adakim shekimat yibotzim naseichel b'milos hanuhugois ashe masibik doyle bat'or. He says, ki yetzabonu adibu mo'oid mo'oid b'choloshen So he says, we have a problem that because these are concepts that we just about can't grasp, we certainly can't picture it, but we can give it some sort of framework. When we start using words for it, we run into problems. We need words. Words are very crude instruments for these things, and we end up using words that are misleading, and therefore we're misled in directions. The words, so he says, the marshal, so when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being one, then we only have the word echad. There are no other words in Hebrew or any language. You know, the word echad belongs to the numbering system. So when I add the qualifier echad lebachtus, that's why I get it. So language, it's one of those real difficulties. And let's talk about it in a minute. Why? Language, as far as we understand, comes about the following way. Our first perception of information is sensations. I see something, I see colors, shapes, I feel things, smell things, and so on. We find a word that helps us take a certain sensation and store it. So when I say sweet, I now store the information, and anytime something comes up that's sweet, I say, oh, it's sweet, and so on. But they're never going to be natural words for things that don't exist. So echad, I can say when I have only one apple versus five apples. I can say when I have different pieces and I screw them together and put them together and made the whatever is supposed to be made of it, now it's one. That's the only place I can generate those words, and therefore discussing ideas that don't have any sensation then I'm stuck. I can't, I'm going to, so he said, so, and this is why people make mistakes when Hashem is Echad, is one, is unified, is everything together. I always keep associating it with the imagery I have. So I use, so he says, I use the word Echad for Leba Achdus. K'maisha Neymar, Kadman. And I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prime. The Hayris al Shubilti Mechudish. Ubam Reinu Kadman min Ahekel Mashamvu Nigla. So we have a problem here. When I say something is prime, I'm always indicating that it's somewhere in the continuum of time. I can use the, I use the word kadmon as to describe something on that is on a continuum of time. So I say he came first. He's there before anybody else. I use the word kadmon, koidem, to mean that. So kodem is in normal usage indicates things in a time continuum. Which is one of those mikrim that for motion. So time is always time, and you know, sequence are part of the world of motion, and therefore it means it has to exist within that context. V'hu gam kein mishar hamitztarif. Omrecha hakadmon b'mikra zman, k'omrecha orech v'kotze b'mikra kav. When I say earlier in time, it's like saying long and short in length. V'chol mish le'sigehu mikra zman, le'yom le'vem se'kan le'chodesh. And anybody that doesn't live under the framework of time, you can't really use the word kadmon. When I say that something is sweet, I can't say that it's not crooked or straight. It's sweet. It doesn't mean anything. It's I'm taking one term and putting in a context that doesn't exist. And you can't say about sounds whether it's salty or a blend. Doesn't make any sense. The elu dvarim ein helam bem lemishahirgul ba'avonis en yonim kefimet dasam uvchanam asagas aseichlem b'afshastos haisam lebiklol shere levilim. The things I'm saying over here are not strange and not unbeknownst to people who have gotten used to understanding these things the way they are and abstracting and getting a sense of the essence and not with the feel that the words impart. V'chol ma shetimtzei b'sfarim, she'etorah Elokei Yisbarach b'rishon v'achrein, and anytime you find the word first or last about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is like an ear and an eye. In other words, we think that you know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu being kadmon lechol is a phrase that should be taken literally. It's really an inapplicable phrase. And as far as I can say, even the word ein soif is borrowed term. The minute I give a term, if I say this is not this, I'm implying that it's somewhere belongs in there, using his muscle. If somebody says this niggin is not salty, it doesn't mean it's worse. And because it has no, it doesn't fit into anything. It doesn't fit into that same category. So any of these descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we always need to think to what the concept is and not what the particular word could mean. So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no shinui, Shik tzas hegesh beinu bezlosei b'masha bezman beirishon v'achron. Let's say I look at a person and I say, this person hasn't aged at all the last 10 years. So even if we'll accept it at face value, but it means the person is a bar aging. I say, normally this person in 10 years would have the following changes in his anatomy, in his appearance. What I'm saying it doesn't, what I'm saying is a statement in the realm of change, zero change. But that already puts him in the realm, and it's appropriate for a person. We assume a person to be a bar shinuin, and therefore we say that. Ve'omnam el amilas kulam kiloshim yadam. So even these words, which we tend to think mean are very, very true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the term itself about HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be true, but the context of the term is not true, and mele it can't exist. So he says, so all these fall into the category of Kein amarnu echad inyonai shehu ein dimyon loy loy shinyon achdus davar gasmai. So again, when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is echad, we mean it's nothing. There is nothing but him, but I don't actually imply that it's a quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we give are all descriptions, definitions, rather than descriptions. Descriptions are always outside things. So Marshall, when I say human being is a primate with a certain type of intelligence, that defines the person. When I talk about a person, say he's tall, he's short, he has a brown spot, a red spot, he limps, or whatever, those are all associated things with it. So when we say Hashem is Echad, so when we use the word is, sometimes it means the property of something. It has a property. This is brown. I don't mean to say that its essence is brown. It's saying it happens to be brown. When I'm defining HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm always speaking about essential qualities. Anything that's true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a mikra, but it's the atzmius. Okay, that's the end. So he's explained that even the things that are true of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the minute we give it as a definition, we're onto a problem. Perek Melches, start Melches. Yosav Akron Akadim. This is still deeper. Da kitir haloika esbach beshlilus huatir amiti. The only real discussion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the negative. Actually, it's a geu dova min a hekel ve'em b'chisor b'chor k'klal le'bishumiyin. So when we define a Kadosh Baruch Hu as not, then we are standing on good ground. Omnam Torah b'chiyuv mi'esh v'min ha'shituf v'chisor m'shkar v'anu. Any type of description is positive, has this issues like we said before. I want to talk a little bit about this. The Ramchal says this point in a different context. He says, why is it of all the descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Echad is the term that's used the most as describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, to us, Echad actually sounds like a lesser. In other words, if we ask ourselves in the order of belief, some people don't believe in a God. Some people believe in a God that's physical. Some people believe in a God that's abstract, but there are many gods. Then we believe in one God. So really in the hierarchy, it seems to us like third in Chashivas. It also doesn't seem to be so terribly important that Hashem is one or many. It's true that he's one and it's great, but so what? Our main gripe with the Christians is that they believe in many gods. They believe in two gods at least. So why is Echad that important one? So Ramchal says, all the definitions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are really handicapped. when I say Hashem is smart, I'm describing with some property that's limited. When I say Hashem is not smart, then I'm, you know, that's negative. So I don't have any real way to describe Kadosh Baruch Hu. When I say Kadosh Baruch Hu is smarter than us, much smarter than us, but we're still putting him in the same league, and that's a problem. The only thing I can say about Hashem that is true and meaningful is there is nothing but Hashem. So I thought that doing X, Y, or Z, I get around the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are other powers and forces, economic powers, countries, and so on. And therefore, I would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the that there's more in the world than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was the most powerful player. When I say Hashem Echad, I'm really talking about the negative. The only thing that makes sense is the negative part of it. I thought that there is a giver of life other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, it hasn't worked in this case, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I can understand Achdusa Yisparach, not directly, but by eliminating the alternatives. It's like deductive reasoning. I can prove something when I prove that no other answer is possible. So as long as math, you have this type of proof where prove that such and such is a even number. And the proof may be, let's assume it's an odd number, we're going to run into some impossibility. So if it's impossible to be odd, it must be even. Very common way to prove different things. So Hashem Echad, by breaking down every alternative and every Avodah Zarah, I'm automatically left with the emes. That's Ramchal says. So he says, so if we really want to be Metayer HaKadosh Baruch Hu in by taking negative things, then that gives us, that homes in the emes. There's a fascinating note that they have in Ezra, in the beginning of Kohelas, it has a long, long, long criticism of piyutim. He's very against the piyutim, the very, very ornate piyutim. The Maral comes out against Ibn Ezra, but come on, Ibn Ezra is very famous. So Ibn Ezra says he once walked to shul and he heard a piyut. I don't remember the details, but I do remember what his satire is, where basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as low something, the one who is not something. And it's some jarring thing. I don't remember of it, but I do remember what he says. So he makes up a little piyut where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as a loy pil, a non-elephant. He said, no one's going to, you know, let's go. He says, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu an elephant? No. So we certainly may say non-elephant to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, you know, Darker is razor sharp humor. He really, you know, goes out full against the other person. Like upon him, the Rambam says over here, the only real descriptions we can talk about is the negative. Let me just give one idea. What is so useful? Rambam will speak in a later parak about what's the point of it. But let's give a simple illustration. When you want to paint a picture of something, you can do it in two ways. You paint a direct picture. If you ever seen those optical illusion type things where you have like a white something in a black something, and if you look at it, you can see either two faces or a becher. I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's sort of a black thing like this. And depending on how you look at it, that's, you know, if you look at this way, basically, by cutting out extraneous material, you get to the thing itself. In other words, you can paint something by painting directly. You can picture something, create a picture of something by cutting out alternatives. So when we cut out alternatives, we're left with a sense of Ribbono Shel Olam. So we may not be able to process our minds, but that's okay, because you can't process your mind. But at least you have something which gives you an emissive description, and so on. Okay, so we're holding.